is that the best you can say, is we're going to keep doing what we've been doing and do it a little better? That's weak sauce to the fans. No excuses. You got to kick their ass. He's made a lot of very good picks for this franchise, and he's going in the Ring of Honor, and I have no problem with that. Zero problem with that. Let's get that out front. However.
All right, the Ira Kaufman podcast is back on. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here, wearing his aqua-colored shirt, looking good today at coming out of One Buck Palace. Sage, we got a fun one today. Lee is back, which is very, very important to the fun here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz. Everything's presented by Bill Curry Ford. Great opportunity coming up. Sunday, Sage, you can go to Bill Curry Ford. They're having a Bucks watch party. Martin Gramatica is going to be out there. And the big thing is they're collecting donations for Toys for Tots. There was a local warehouse that was actually flooded out. And so the Curry family is helping replenish that. Also, they're collecting cans for Feeding Tampa Bay. But the game will be rolling. Martin Gramatica will be there. Bill Curry Ford is cooking up food for everybody, you know, barbecuing out there. You can get your free hot dog or a hamburger, Sage, and enjoy the game.
I'm bringing a Cade Otten bobblehead for Toys for Tots. And I found out today that Otten has shaved his head. I hope that doesn't rob him of his powers because he's been playing good football.
I like the move considering how the Bucks are sucking it up. Do something different. Shake things up.
There you go.
At Bill Curry Ford, Sage, I bring donations. Enjoy the game. Meet Martin Gramatica. He'll actually be doing the Spanish language broadcast live from Bill Curry Ford. A lot of fun ahead.
His brother's usually with them.
And the best part is GM Sean Sullivan, our draft guru, he will be out there, and you get to hear Sean yell and scream at the Bucks.
Constant.
In English, not in Spanish. And it should be a great time. We'll talk more about it. But BillCurryFord.com, start shopping there today. Black Friday savings are rolling, and they're just the place you want to buy a vehicle. Mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, you want to buy from who you can trust. And we all have our vehicles from Bill Curry Ford, and we trust them. Sean Sullivan is there for you. Anybody who's listened to this podcast knows you can reach out to Sean.
What about the Sage discount, Stevie?
Through the website, BillCurryFord.com. And yes, you can even demand the Sage discount in person on Sunday. And yes, they'll be open, so you can look at a vehicle too. Do a two-for-one situation. All right, Ira, later we'll thank Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. Get there today so you know what to do and why they're so great when you have a disaster at your property, storm damage, a fire, flood, mold. Mold is just a killer, and you need a licensed mold remediation specialist, floridaselite-restoration.com. All right, Lee, welcome back.
When Ira said Cade Otten, I swear to God, I thought you said Kate Upton. Not honest to God.
The two are often confused, Lee.
Well, not really.
Yes. We've got an important Buccaneers-Giants game coming up here on Sunday.
I want the floor for 3 minutes, Stevie.
Oh,
I demand the floor.
But it's his podcast.
Ira, if you want the floor, I'm turning off my microphone. It's all yours, buddy.
Before we get to Bucks-Giants, of which we will break it down like nobody's business, I want to clarify this column from this week. Lee, it shouldn't surprise me after almost 5 decades in the business how people can misinterpret things. They can take something and twist it around. Now, that's something they're always accusing the media of. But I'm accusing some fans of doing it based on, yes, Lee, I did read the comments. I did read the comments. Some people say, Ira, that's a mistake. Never do that. Well, I want to see what's out there. I want to see what the reaction is. All right.
You want the pulse of the fans.
Pulse, baby. Couple of things. One, I never said Light was on the hot seat or should be on the hot seat. Never. Never did I even intimate that. What I did say is nobody's above accountability. Mm-hmm. Nobody is above accountability. And to place 100% of the blame on Todd Bowles, which a lot of fans seem to want to do.
He's the coach.
He is the head coach. But it is an organization.
Sure.
And, for example, nobody should be a sacred cow, and that includes Jason Light. He should not be a sacred cow. He's made a lot of very good picks for this franchise, and he's going in the Ring of Honor, and I have no problem with that. Zero problem with that. Let's get that out front. However, in the grand words of Lee DeKemper, can I have a freaking out edge pass rusher in the joint? Lee, he's tried. He's failed. And for you fans to say that Todd Bowles is responsible for Logan Hall not producing is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Sometimes you just make a bad draft pick. Shoyink has been here 4 years. He hasn't improved. Looks like a bad draft pick. He's not coming back next year. We all know that. I don't care who the coach is. Another example. Well, wait a minute. Bowles is responsible for drafting Logan Hall and Shoyinka, their defensive players. Lee, do you think there's a Buck fan out there, any of them, that's going to give Bowles credit for Antoine Winfield Jr.?
Zero. Well, they should.
They won't do that because they're looking for a scapegoat. That's what fans do. Steve, all I'm saying is you don't give the GM a pass in this situation. He's not primarily responsible for them being 4-6. Bowles has his problems as a head coach, which I articulated. He's had them for a long time. He's stubborn, he's conservative, and his game management at times is questionable. Okay, let's get that out there. But for you to even suggest that Jason Light could have done a little bit better this year in terms of the trade deadline, in terms of the draft, defensively, or before the season, Randy Gregory, Lee? Really?
Oh, that's
Randy
ridiculous.
Gregory?
Ridiculous.
That's you know, he's out of football, Steve. Nobody wants him. Nobody wants Randy Gregory. He's out of football. I don't care. They had a tryout a couple of weeks ago with a team. So let's clarify it. Nobody's trying to hang Jason Light out to dry. Nobody's saying he should be on the hot seat. He should not. He's got a lot more street cred than Todd Bowles, deservedly so. So let's get all that out on the table. But you can't look at any general manager and say they've done nothing wrong. They're above reproach. I don't go for that. And he's got to accept accountability for some, you know, any weaknesses that he's shown. That's all I'm saying. He's not on the hot seat. He shouldn't lose his job. And that's as far as I'm going.
All right, well, let me take you to task here on one paragraph, Ira. When I read it, for anyone who hasn't read Ira's column, it's on the homepage at joebucksfan.com.
Anybody else going to write that column, Steve? I said it the other day. Nobody's going to write that column.
I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think so.
Some people will say, well, that's because it's a stupid column. But that's all right.
Well, others would say there's no other media.
You could say that, Lee.
So, Sage, you said that, I'll quote it, Light also has been a little loose with Glazer money. And the next paragraph you went on to say, the Tristan Wirfs contract made him highest paid offensive lineman in league history. Antoine Winfield Jr. also was made the highest paid defensive back in NFL history, first time his safety earned that designation. So you want to clarify that? Because that made me wince a little bit.
It did make you wince. That was part of my aim, to make Steve Isbitz wince. I was successful on that ground. Well, I was just thinking about it, and, you know, maybe it's because Wirfs and Winfield are so outstanding, but he did break two barriers in a row, Light, as the general manager. Especially the Winfield one with the safety being a safety. And I know how you are on safeties. You say you're not drafting a safety in round one unless the guy's Ed Reed over here.
Ain't so close.
It was a little bit of a pot shot. Unfortunately, Winfield's not playing up to that standard this year.
I got to believe he's hurt.
And I don't think you could argue Wirfs is the best tackle in football. He's very
Second
good.
Second best.
He's very good.
Second best. Maybe third at worst.
You mean left tackle or just tackle, period?
Left tackle. Oh, that's right. Sewell's a right tackle, isn't he?
Sewell's a right tackle.
So it'd be Trent Williams.
In the conversation.
Well, yeah. Just on performance this year, remember a couple of weeks ago I said Bill Belichick did on his show, he put Wirfs as the best tackle in football, left tackle in football.
Yeah, what's so, he know about football?
Yeah, what Belichick? Does that guy know?
Well, what's
All
Belichick
right, Ira,
know?
So you've clarified.
Nobody's coming after Jason Light.
Lee, do you have any response to Ira's pounding the table here?
My only issue is Ira and I kind of disagree. I'm a big coach's guy. That's good and that's bad. This is the bad about being a coach's guy. I believe if you're a good coach, you can coach a guy up. If you look at Bowles' record, going back all the way to Arizona, when has he ever developed an edge rusher? And his right-hand man, Casey Rogers, 2 weeks ago, very publicly, basically said, we don't care about sacks from an edge rusher. You could say I'm twisting his words, but he said, we don't care where they come from. They do not value an edge rush. They just don't. So that's problem number one. If you don't value a position, how are you going to coach up a guy to be elite at that position if you give it a half-assed effort? Number two, if we agree that Light just can't draft an edge rusher, If you believe that, and I'm not saying that's wrong, I'm just saying the evidence to me suggests that Foles can't develop one. If you believe that's Light's problem, then it's up to Light to go out and get a veteran who can rush the passer, which he did with JPP, which he did with Shaq Barrett. So if you believe Light is a Fred McGriff when it comes to swing and misses at edge rushers, then it's up to him as the general manager, as the procurer of talent, to go get someone that's shown an ability to do that, rather than sit on your ass, fold your arms, and say, I'm done.
Well, it sounds like you're making my case for me over there a little bit, Lee.
Yes and no.
Here's where Lee and I differ a little bit, Stephen. You weigh in. If a guy doesn't make it, Shoyinka, Lee tends to assume the coach isn't developing the guy, and I'm not willing to make that assumption until a guy goes to another team in a different scheme, plays considerably better. Now, having said that, I'm looking at Carlton Davis, and he's having a very nice year for the Lions. You could say he's surrounded by better talent on defense. I don't think that's true necessarily. He's having a pretty good season. And so I got to give Lee that one. Carlton Davis in another system, he seems to be flourishing a little bit.
Well, it's not like he was a lousy player with
but
the Bucs.
But I'm not naming Bowles the culprit for Logan Hall and Joe Tryon Shoyinka. I'm not doing it, Steve.
Well, Logan Hall is a defensive tackle, and he has shown some, not enough, but some spurts.
I think he might have been drafted as an end.
If Joe Tryon Shoyinka was just a single example, I agree with Ira. You know, let's see what he does when he goes elsewhere. We got too many examples of guys being drafted, and they're absolutely invisible. And my issue on top of that is, will you quit trying to turn these guys into cornerbacks? I think he screws these guys' heads up. Oh, they got to cover this guy. They got to cover that guy. Bowles, within a week, Bowles complains about his defensive tackles not getting the quarterback. In the same freaking week, he has these guys dropping back into pass coverage. What the hell? How's a guy supposed to get to the quarterback when you got him covering tight ends? Give me a break.
I really don't understand dropping defensive linemen back into coverage, Steve. I don't understand the logic of it.
I can see once in a while.
Sage, I don't think they do it that often. That's my opinion. I don't think it's a big deal because they don't do it that often.
The very first drive against San Francisco, different plays. Villa and Kansi dropping back into coverage. First blankety blank.
Villa?
Yes. I can agree, but to do it once in a while. One of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history, and I can't remember his name right now, Harrison, the Steelers.
James Harrison.
Dropped back in a pass coverage, boom, 99-yard return, turn that game. I could see it once in a while to throw off, but not every other freaking series.
And he's not a lineman.
Who, Harrison?
Harrison's a linebacker.
Well, Sage, let me pull it back to what you were talking about, which is the fans. I think it's safe to say that when Jason Light does get in the Ring of Honor, which you said publicly here, I've never heard you say that before, but that you've said that now. I've said it a while ago. I think it's safe to say you're not going to be invited to the big fancy party.
Oh, I don't know about that, Stevie. time heals all wounds.
Now, the Carlton Davis thing, this year he's stayed healthy, which has always been the thing for him.
Yeah.
So he's having a nice year, but I don't think that reflects on Jason Light. I'm not sure he's having
a... I'm saying people could use that as a reflection on Bowles.
They didn't use him right. I understand. Look, I think Todd Bowles, I only look at it as wins and losses. That's his only job. He's had enough in the tank this year to be 6-4 instead of 4-6. I don't think anybody could argue otherwise.
Even though they've had significant injuries?
Yeah. Well, look at the games. Just watch the games. So you have enough talent to be 6-4. With a cakewalk
you
schedule.
You give him credit for going into Ford Field and beating a hell
sure,
of a Lions team?
He gets credit for all the wins and all the losses, which is Lee's point. So they've done good things. I know they've had, obviously, the injuries, but now it's all in front of them, right? Brad Johnson was on WDAE the other day saying the Bucs schedule, it's got to have been the toughest in the league. And I was impressed that Johnson knew all these, had watched all the games and rattled them off. And now they've got their dessert. And if you don't feast on this...
Well, they still lost twice to Atlanta, Steve. That's not acceptable.
I understand. Totally unacceptable, but that's the point.
The loss of the Chiefs, I don't think you can pin it on Noah Evans or Godwin.
Look, Ira, look at Kirk Cousins. He's not a good quarterback when he's not playing the Bucs.
Yeah.
It's just that's
a 500 yards. They could fold like a cheap suit, Atlanta.
Well, they are folding.
500 yards.
Yeah, as we said before, Atlanta has the Chargers.
Their defense stinks. It's as bad as the Bucs.
Yeah, maybe worse. The Chargers, Minnesota, and Washington on their schedule. The Bucs have an opportunity here. Will they do it? Nobody knows. All right, so look, you were in the locker room. You were patrolling the grounds today at One Buck. What do you want to share?
I think there's a real feeling of optimism, as there should be. They self-scouted themselves from a coaching standpoint. What are we doing wrong?
That took a long while.
Yeah. that took 3 days. We got to stop doing those things now.
Now, wait a minute. Before we go on.
We didn't hear miscommunication today. That's a positive.
We're cutting you off because I don't want you to put three things on the table. You put that on the table right now. What I'm going to say is Todd Bowles' answer was, if we just keep doing what we're doing and focus on fundamentals, we'll be just fine. What do you think of that, Lee?
I don't think that's crazy. Fundamentals. Tackle people. Wrap up. Bring them to the ground. Block. Fundamentals. I wrote a story this morning, Ira. This is a favorite subject of yours. The plus-minus takeaways. What's the bucks right now?
I can't believe you wrote about takeaways. It's unbelievable.
But what?
Right now?
Yeah, plus-minus.
About even?
Are even. Very good.
Okay.
Guess who is the fourth worst in the NFL in takeaways?
Chiefs.
What's their record?
I'm 2-for-2 on you over here, Steve.
What's their record?
Their record is
one loss.
10-1 or something. Yeah.
The third best team in takeaways.
The third best team? Don't tell me it's some scrub team like Carolina or something.
The Bears.
They can't get out of here.
These defensive guys, they actually think takeaways are points. It may lead to points, but you got to play good fundamental football to win games. I don't give a damn about a takeaway. What I do give a damn about, and what coaches ought to give a damn about, is touchdowns. Touchdowns wins games, not takeaways. It helps. Football is like any other sport. The scoreboard. They don't keep track of takeaways on the scoreboard.
They don't make winning plays when the game's on the line. So the Bucs don't.
They give you an advantage, but they don't get the job done.
Ira, do you agree with Todd Bowles that the Bucs, he's basically saying we don't need to make any big adjustments? It's basically what he said.
Fans don't want to hear that. I can say that right now. He's feeding into the fan frenzy in that regard. Unless things change on the field Sunday at 1 o'clock. Then it's a whole different conversation. And we hope it does.
Yeah, I hope it changes.
But to your point, Steve, I know what you're getting at. After a week of reflection, is that the best you can say is we're going to keep doing what we've been doing and do it a little better? That's weak sauce to the fans. Weak sauce.
So continue with your impressions at $1. I cut you off at Todd Bowles' first comment, and you were talking about optimism.
One thing I'm very interested in, and I asked Mayfield and I asked Bowles about it. Maybe I'm obsessive about this.
Happy holidays.
But no. The return of Mike Evans. I think it's very interesting in terms of the dynamic, because that streak, it's right there, really. It's in front of everybody. Mayfield's talked about it a lot. Never mind Evans. We know what it means to Evans. Mayfield, very aware of it, wants his man to get it.
Yeah.
Steve, is there a danger in force-feeding the ball to Evans? You know he's going to be double-teamed. Lee says that all the time, especially without Godwin. There's no mystery who you got to worry about. You're not going to be worried about Sterling Shepard at this point. So how are you going to handle that? And I think Evans will be back for the Giants game. Are you going to give him 14 targets a game, even though he's doubled, in an effort to get him that streak?
Well,
and do you care about the streak?
Here's the thing with the streak. I don't think it's going to affect the game plan. But like Mayfield said, if we have an opportunity to get Mike the ball, we're going to get him the ball. However, this is the problem I have with this. Like, let's say the football gods keep some normalcy on Sunday, and the Bucs are winning 24-10.
And Evans is still in the ball game.
Against the Giants at the end of the third quarter. Okay? Very likely. Are you going to hammer the ball to Mike Evans on the last three series that you get?
When it doesn't make football sense?
When it doesn't make health sense for a team that's trying to get to the playoffs. So if they're going to take the last two series in a win, as an example, this week, and throw the ball to Mike Evans and try to get him 50, you know, six catches for 50 yards or something on short throws, that's not preserving Mike Evans for what your ultimate goal is. So
I think your point's exactly
right. It's going to be very dicey. Because
lately, if he keeps the streak going, it's got to be organically.
Yeah.
Not manufactured.
He's not going to do it being hurt again. On the surface, I don't have an issue with force-feeding Evans. He's one of the rare receivers you want to force-feed because he'll outfight guys for a ball. Anybody else, I would be worried, but Steve's point is spot on. The big picture here is the playoffs, not the record.
Right.
If they lose the Giants or lose the Raiders, or in my mind, the worst loss would be the Panthers.
And he's done enough to get into Canton, Lee. He's done enough. He's
going to play another couple of years. Everybody likes Mike, you know. And you want to help out a teammate. Baker and him are friends. I don't blame him for wanting. They did that before when he barely cracked 1,000 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
It was his third year with Jameis. The Bucs admitted we were targeting him because they wanted him to get that record. I don't have an issue with that.
It's going to be harder without Godwin. It's going to be harder.
Of course. Yeah. If they're like I said, if they lose the Giants,
all bets are off.
30 targets a game. I don't give a
damn. Well, yeah, I agree with Lee. If when you're out of the playoffs, light them up. Set records of targets. Go for it. You know, I'm all for that. If there's two games to go and he needs 410 yards, go get it.
But when it comes to a streak versus a playoff berth, that's a no contest.
Yeah, yes. And I'm going to be freaking fuming if we start seeing bullshit throws to Mike Evans
and he gets hurt.
With a lead in the fourth quarter.
And he gets hurt.
And even if he doesn't get hurt, don't
Steve,
do it.
Steve, didn't the Detroit coach just do that? Kept the foot on the pedal, 52 to – he was throwing the ball in the fourth quarter, Lee. That's him. That's Campbell.
That's a Bobby
Bowden. That's the way he coaches.
Everybody – but Kyle Bowles –
That's Spurrier, right?
Everybody, well, yeah, Spurrier and Bowles.
Everybody's different. I mean, look, they were throwing at the end of 2020 to Antonio Brown so he could get his million-dollar bonus. And they screwed Ronald Jones out of 1,000 yards. They threw to Gronk at the end of it, meaningless
stuff. There was a risk to what Campbell did last
week.
There was a risk.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand it, but I only care about us, Ira. And Mike Evans, we want him healthy, but if you're out of it, load it up.
Quick story about, building a big lead, don't take your foot off the gas. Just when I mentioned Bowden's name, this was Bowden's story, why he quit doing that. He was coaching West Virginia. He had like a 35-point lead at halftime. I don't know who he was playing. And he said, I don't want to run the score up. I'll take my foot off the gas. We'll just run the ball. He got beat.
Whoa.
And he said at that moment, he goes, never again. Never again.
All right, Steve, got a question for you, the man that watches all 22 seven times. What do you notice about Diaby? How are teams reacting to Diaby? And what's your confidence level he's going to raise his game?
Look, Diaby shows his explosiveness. You see it. He's getting push on guys. Lee even found some stat of that he's getting close, whatever that means in the stat world of next-gen stats. But he's not adjusting with the moves. You're not seeing an array of moves.
Fresh moves, yeah.
And obviously teams are getting the ball out pretty quick on the Bucs, but it's not there. Doesn't mean he can't adjust, but the moves, whatever they're coaching him up, he hasn't evolved enough to what's what they're adjusting to him.
Here's a stat that Steve referenced. Now, I can't remember the exact time, but it's a stat from snap to pressuring the quarterback. He's in the top 10, I want to say like 9. Right in front of him is Max Crosby. Right behind him is Micah Parsons. So he's getting
that's
there.
Strong company.
Yeah, he's just not finishing. Which, what do we hear Bulls talk about with Joe Tryon-Shenka? He's not finishing. What's that tell me? They're not being coached up.
I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what this close means, but he's looked pretty good against the run. His effort's always there. He's not a Joe Tryon-Shenka who's got some weird stuff going on sometimes.
Did I shock you with the Jamel Dean's gone 32 straight games without a pick? Does that surprise you?
No, I've tracked that a couple of times. I forget what the
and
number
I didn't
is.
Count the postseason.
The playoffs, yeah. He doesn't have any in the playoffs either.
You're right.
I mean, Dean's coming back. It looks like Zion McCollum has no chance with his hamstring. And it'll be interesting, though. They got this guy, Troy Hill, who's been around a long time. Todd Bowles said today, we'll see what he knows of the playbook. But that guy can cover. He's had a bunch of pick sixes in the league. But we'll see.
Lee, do you think the soft coverage that we've seen most of the season, especially against Kirk Cousins twice, you think that's screwing up the pass rush in terms of being able to get to these guys? Is that these guys, they can make an 8-yard pass anytime they want?
You can make that.
And the ball's out in 1.8 seconds.
You can make that point. I don't know how valid it is, but it makes sense. It adds up.
I mean, just take some chances, Put the tight coverage on. Run the blitz. If you get burned a couple times, so what? I get the other side of the coin, but, man, you can give a guy like Tommy DeVito that you're going to see on the Giants Sunday a lot of confidence when he's like, hey, this defense is pretty soft, and he's building confidence, which you don't want. I got 6 yards here, 11 there.
And Steve, on top of the soft defense, Lee, and we've watched it now, they don't tackle well. So you put the don't tackle well on top of the soft defense. And, Steve, the 8-yard pass is now 16 yards. It's a big problem.
Didn't the New York media tag Tommy DeVito with Tommy Cutlets?
That's his nickname, Tommy Cutlets.
Here's what I'll say about Todd Bowles and his pass defense. Now, I want to be clear. I think he's a very good defensive backs coach. Very good. Maybe a good linebackers coach, too. Pass rush, forget about it. There's only been one coach in NFL history who's given up two games where a quarterback threw for over 500 yards. Mr. Bowles.
You mean more than one game of 500 yards?
Yes.
Ira, I've got a very important question for you. Very important.
Does it involve Jason Light?
It involves Todd Bowles, but it's something that you were very adamant about a couple of weeks ago or recently.
Yep.
And so it's important. But first, we got to talk about what's more important, which is protecting your house if there's any sort of disaster. You know, people often ask, well, if I have a problem, how quickly can I get a response? Do I call my insurance? No. You call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately, 24/7. Their goal is to be at your property as soon as possible within a couple of hours to assess whatever's going on and find a battle plan to restore everything and make sure you don't get ripped off by your insurance company. They specialize in mold remediation, water mitigation, fire restoration, whatever it is. They'll do everything, including rebuild and make repairs if that's what's necessary. Have a plan. Go to floridaselite restoration.com. Mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucksfan when you call, and you'll get $500 back if you actually need their services after your evaluation of your disaster. So be smart. Go to floridaselite restoration.com now and be ready. That's it. All we can ask is for people to be ready and be smart.
Josh and his crew do a fantastic job, Steve.
Josh and his people. We got to have dinner with Josh. I know we were talking about that. Doing that before the hurricane hit, and then that it changed.
He's been a little busy.
It's been a little busy. Just a little.
Oh, I know what you're going to get to, Steve.
So, bottom line, Buccaneers have available practices in pads.
How many days off are they coming off?
Todd Bowles gave the team 6 days off in a row. He could have just done four. They came up back today, shorts and T-shirts for practice. No pads. A lot of teams across the NFL, they go in pads after a bye week to get the guys back in, football mentality, toughen up a little bit. Your thoughts?
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. And I don't want to hear I'm worried about injuries. No. You got to build toughness in this football team. This is not a tough football team through 10 games. It's not.
Offensively, I think they are.
Their rush defense hasn't been very good. It's not. They don't tackle well.
Defense, period.
I don't want to say country club league, but 6 days off and now you're still not in pads? Now, look, Bowles knows, he's got his temperature of his team better than anybody. But from an outside point of view, Lee, I think it's the wrong decision. I would have had him in pads today. You got to take advantage of when you can put people in pads.
On face value, I agree with you. But to your point, Bowles knows the temperature of his team. Maybe I can't explain. I can't. But he's a Parcells guy, so he knows about. You would think he knows about toughness. You need toughness. I don't know.
I guess the proof will happen on Sunday. It'll happen.
Yeah. Here's what I can say, and I think some fans will enjoy hearing this. Does it matter? Probably not. But I walked up the $1 today. Obviously, we weren't allowed to watch practice. Yes, they have a viewing window, quote unquote, for the first 30 minutes of practice. That's BS. That's just guys stretching and warming up. That means nothing to me. However, you can hear practices. Often you walk up and right before a road game, you can hear the fake noise that they're pumping in. You hear whistles. You hear coaches yelling and screaming sometimes. Today, for the first time all year, as I walked up the $1 Palace, I heard all kinds of hollering, yelling, carrying on.
That was me. That was me and Kevin O'Connell.
You had to pick up the bill for O'Connell, right? I didn't hear a coach's whistle. I didn't hear coaches. It was all players. Very energetic.
I like that.
Very loud. Very interactive. Very engaged.
That's because they had the Allman Brothers on as the music.
Didn't want to put people to sleep. No, there was no music. There was no music, by the way.
So you saw enthusiasm. You saw
heard. I didn't see anything. I heard.
Heard.
So that was the first time all year that I heard that kind of enthusiasm.
Pets don't stop you from being enthusiastic, Stevie.
Maybe Gerald McCoy showed up with snow cones.
And his Batman mobile.
Yeah. I don't know. I brought it up, Ira, because on one of our last podcasts, you mentioned, hey, he's going to be tough on him this week. You said that. He's going to put him in pads. It didn't happen. I know Pat Kerwin, who interviews Bowles every week on Sirius XM NFL Radio, most weeks, not every week. There was a week where he said to Bowles, I think it was after the Thursday night game, and then they get the long bye. He said something to Bowles like, well, I know you're going to have the guys in pads this week, getting them back, blah, blah, blah. And Bowles didn't say anything, and they weren't in pads. I think it was the Thursday night week, but he's just more focused.
He's setting his ways, Lee. He's
setting his ways, and now, like you said, we'll find out. I do disagree with you. I think the Bucs have been pretty tough this year, like Lee said, on the offensive standpoint. I don't know.
I guess the O-line, you could say is the strength of the team. But, you could say that.
But you know what? They're not swarming, tackling like in the ways that they could be. So I'll agree with you on on that side. Ira, this whole situation with the Giants before we pick the game. You know, the Giants are 2-8, and so they benched Daniel Jones because if he gets hurt, they're going to owe him tens of millions of dollars. But they're not actually saying that.
And they can't, can they?
Sure they could.
Well, they could, but the union didn't come after him.
Now, to answer your question, I don't know. But the way they're talking, they're not even hinting at it. He's going to practice, whereas some of these quarterbacks in this situation, they just go home.
Yeah.
He's not going home. Daniel Jones
I don't want to hear any nonsense that the Giants are going to get a bump out of Tommy Cutlets, and that is going to help them beat the Bucs. I don't want to hear any nonsense.
Here's the thing, Ira. They're 2-8, and they dump
the balls in their ass.
They dump the quarterback, and some players have already spoken out. I love Daniel Jones. Dexter Lawrence, their top player, already came out saying, hey, man, we're not necessarily going with the best quarterback. But they don't go with the backup. Drew Lock's been the number two all year on the sidelines. They say no. And they go with the number three guy who the fans love, who played a little bit last year. It's from a local high school in Jersey. And
looks like they're trying to go 4-13. What else can I surmise?
And everyone's talking in New York about tanking. What are your thoughts there?
This team's dead in the water, Lee. They got nothing to play for. Now a slightly unpopular move with Daniel Jones for some of the players. Not that Jones was playing worth a damn, Lee. He wasn't.
He beat Bowles, by the way.
But he
can
move.
Remember, he's a rookie?
He can move. We saw what happened with Bo Nix hurt the Bucs with his legs in that Denver game. Several key plays. But anyway, I don't want to hear anything. The Bucs are a better team. They have a better roster. They're getting healthy. No excuses. You got to kick their ass. Lee, there's no excuses for this game. I don't care where it is. The only thing you could screw up here is if you spend half your time looking for Jimmy Hoffa in the Meadowlands.
That's the wrong stadium.
What do you mean the wrong stadium?
The stadium where he was buried under is rubble now, right?
Well, you go next door and you get an Uber. Lee, there's no excuses. Giants stink. Am I wrong? I mean, can
you
lose?
Do picks now or not?
No, we're just setting it up. Is there any way they should lose this game? I mean,
should? No way. Should. Should is a whole different thing.
Well, your point, and you've been saying it for weeks now, you can't really say they should win this game, they should win this game, they should win this game.
No, they should, but should is not will, should, you know, a lot of things should. I should go home to Kate Upton. That ain't going to happen.
Carolina shouldn't have three wins. Yeah.
But she's bald, Lee.
I'll buy her a wig.
Anyway, Steve, this leads right into what we think is going to happen on Sunday. I'm not going first. I'm going second.
Are you going second? All right, I'll go first. So the Giants have scored 20 points only three times this year, and one of them was a garbage time score. So they just don't have talent. I watched that stupid game on replay. Thankfully, I didn't spend 3 hours watching it. The Panthers and the Giants in England. And the Giants have the leading rookie.
Panthers had two international games?
Not that I know of, no.
Well, you just said Panthers.
Yeah.
And they played Munich, not England, Munich.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So
that threw me off.
The Giants have the top leading rookie rusher, Tyrone Tracy. He's got a couple of more yards than Bucky Irving, fifth-round pick. And
I bet he's got more touches than Bucky Irving.
He has more touches, same yards per carry, 5.1 yards average. He's been a bright spot for them, but he fumbled in that game, cost them the game. So now he's had 2 weeks to think about it, and he's kind of their offense since Malik Nabers has been kind of very quiet the last 4 weeks. The league's kind of caught up to him, and he doesn't have a good quarterback. So there's just nobody in New York, nobody anywhere thinks these guys can score because they just don't. And
yeah, they don't
score. It's 2 years running. It's not 1 year. It's 2 years, same offense. They can't score. So I think the Bucs are going to score, and I think they'll score enough to overcome their defense. I think the Giants will hit that 20-point mark again, but I think the Bucs will take it 24-21, even though they should beat him by a lot more.
I'm kind of with Steve on this, Lee. I can't pick the Bucs to blow anybody out at this point. I can't. It's not their M.O. Even the games they won been kind of close, except maybe the Philly game. They beat them up pretty good when Philly stunk, and now they don't stink.
Yeah.
I got the Bucs about 27-20. Even the fact that I got the Giants scoring 20 points, that's no reason to celebrate for the Buck defense, Lee. The Giants don't have many weapons, but I still think they can put some points up against this Buck defense the way they're playing right now.
No,
27-20.
That's not a reason to celebrate, but a win is a reason to celebrate. And right now, this team needs wins. They can't say, oh, we screwed up. We only scored 20 points. They need wins. So I got some ugly numbers for you here.
All right.
Todd Bowles dating back to when he was Jets coach, is on a 5-game losing streak coming out of a bye.
Not good.
I really want to pick the Bucks.
Uh-oh.
But I got to see this defense play. The defense has stunk for so long. I got to see it until they change their ways. I can't change my view of them. I think this is a bad team. To quote Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. That defense has to change. Until then, I don't trust them. But then there's the Giants, who are god-awful. So here's what I'm going to do. And I put my money where my mouth is. I'll show you the Hard Rock app. Here's a free plug. Please give us a check.
Bucks 5.5-point favorite.
Right now it's 5.
5.
I took the Giants into points, but the Bucks will win 21-17.
So your confidence in the Bucks has eroded significantly.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They've done a great job, the Bucks, scoring early this season. And DeVito, looking into his numbers and stuff, only once did he even throw more than 30 passes. That's just not, he's not capable.
You want to get him in a catch-up situation.
If he gets in a catch-up situation, he only had that chance once, and the Giants scored 6 points. He doesn't have it. And it looks like they're tanking. I mean, do you think it ever comes from the top? Because the Giants right now have 2 wins, and so they're tied with the Jaguars, and I forget who else has 2 wins. So that's a situation where, you know, they're in it for the top pick. Do you think it comes from the top in the back channel saying, look, we want to lose, you know, make it look good? How does that work in the NFL?
If that's going to be the philosophy, it has to come from the top.
Mara.
Must come from the owner.
I can't believe Mara would do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's supposed to be Mr. Clean Jeans. You know, Mr. I'm the model of the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, we
tradition.
Yeah, I that would shock me. That it would not shock me if it came from Joe Shane. But it would shock
or
me.
Or Joel Glazer.
Does it seem that Deion's son is the consensus number one pick? Is that the way it is?
Overall number one? No way. That's a reach. He might be a first-round pick, but you're talking a desperate team in the middle of the first round. This is a bad quarterback draft.
So it's not Caleb Williams that you're tanking
no,
for?
No.
Could you be tanking for the other guy on Colorado? The guy, the two-way player might win the Heisman?
He's a very good player. But what team tanks for a cornerback?
Yeah. And he's a wide receiver?
Yes, he's very good.
Yeah. It's got to come from the top, Steve. That decision has to come.
So you think
from
that's already come?
I don't know that. But the fact that they're bypassing the number 2 to go to the number 3 on the depth chart,
it's like waving a flag.
Yeah.
You guys know it's coming. You know it's coming. Drew Lock is a knucklehead. He's always got these stupid ass dances he does, the few times he throws a touchdown. And my biggest issue, you know where I'm going with this? Him and Gracie Hunt were a thing, and he dumped her.
Well, that he's more of a knucklehead than we thought.
He's a moron. Now, I mentioned this to a guy. You know how you meet people in Vegas, you know, just by happenstance? And I was sitting in a sports book at Aria, and we were talking football and the Seahawks. He was playing for the Seahawks. Then I brought up how Locke sucked. Oh, this guy's terrible. And I told him the Gracie Hunt story, and I showed him a picture of Gracie Hunt. You're going to want to bleep this, Steve. This was the guy's reaction. When I showed him a picture of Gracie Hunt and told him how Locke dumped him, he's effing retarded.
The thing about the tanking, Ira, I watched the Giants news conferences this week, and they must have asked Brian Daboll, the head coach there, a handful of ways. Brian, you had the guy as the number two for 10 weeks, and now you're not starting him, and he's got all this experience. Why'd you guys pay him $5 million in free agency? And they're leaning on him, and he's like, well, you know, yeah, we think we can maybe get a spark, and but it's so obvious, and he can't talk his way out of it because he's had the guy as his number two. It's just I think they're tanking, and if the Bucks lose, forget about it. Real quickly, Black Friday starts now at the Bill Curry Ford. Get there. You're going to see offers. You got incredible lease deals with the Ford Power Promise, and you've got $1,500 coupon on there, BillCurryFord.com. And thank you to Florida's Elite Restoration. FloridasEliteRestoration.com. You know, bad things happen anytime. Just because it's holiday season doesn't mean you can't get a flood. Be ready. FloridasEliteRestoration.com.
I better clarify, just for the few people who don't know, when I reference Gracie Hunt, for those people who don't know, her father is Clark Hunt. Who is that? Oh, he owns the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In a couple of decades, Miss Kansas, Gracie Hunt was Miss Kansas, beauty queen, is worth over $1 billion, and she will own an NFL team. So marrying her means the wedding present is an NFL franchise.
And another life I'd like to work for Gracie Hunt.